Am I a fool or am I wise? I've been asking myself this question for a while. Our Chicago congregation purposefully studies the book of Proverbs as a part of our programs. The young adults are studying Proverbs in our quarterly get-togethers. Our teens are learning through their learning program or using Proverbs as their material. The Fay family, we've been researching Proverbs to encourage our boys to wisdom. Proverbs shares insights for all ages, especially those who have enough time or a lot more time to apply its wisdom. And those in the later stages of life, too, can enjoy more pleasant living by studying the Proverbs and applying what it says. God calls us to be wise like He is. Isaiah 11 remarks that the Spirit of the Lord includes a spirit of wisdom. At least three scriptures in the New Testament refer to God as wise. Jude 1 in verse 24 and 25 remarks this: "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Christ commanded His disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Therefore, to be like God, we must be wise. Am I a fool or am I wise? God fabricated the heavens and the earth in wisdom. Proverbs 8:22, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way." This is wisdom personifying herself. "Before His works of old." Now consider and imagine for a moment if God the Father gave you the responsibility to build the entire universe and the earth and the heavens. Where would you start? I have no idea. I don't possess that kind of wisdom. Here's one attribute that I find of the creation is extremely wise. Psalm 145 and verse 16, it says, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." In great wisdom, the Creator of the heavens and the earth designed a system that feeds every living thing. We call that the food chain in our scientific era. He's made the creation to demonstrate wisdom everywhere. It exemplifies wisdom. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." The lowly ant as a lesson in wisdom. Proverbs 8 and verse 1 says, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hills beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors." All these places that wisdom is there standing and yelling out to passersby. Wisdom is freely available to us all. Wisdom is critically important to God. It is His nature. Therefore, we must be wise to inherit the kingdom of God. However, we all start out as fools. Scripture records that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. In God's wise system, we must all learn wisdom. We start as a fool. And true wisdom, as we learn from Proverbs 9, comes from the fear of the Lord. There is another wisdom that's sourced from the earth and Satan's corrupt wisdom, but that's a different topic at all. And so, am I a fool or am I wise? You might remember a comedian in the 1990s named Jeff Foxworthy. He helped people identify whether or not they were rednecks. For example, he asked if your underwear doubles as a bathing suit, you might be a redneck. According to him, rednecks demonstrate identifying marks, and he had a whole routine to help with that. And so let's do that. Let's take a look and examine identifying marks of foolish people and wise people. Let's judge ourselves and grow in wisdom. The good news, we can all grow in wisdom when we discover we behave foolishly. To prepare today's material, I analyzed 150 Proverbs. I'm a data geek. Each verse explicitly mentions the words fool, fools, foolish, wise, and wisdom. That's how I selected the 150. For each verse, I created two columns, one called wise, one called foolish. And for each verse, I identified a theme that exhibited either the foolish theme or the wise theme. And not every verse included both. Then I counted the number of verses in each theme, and I sorted them according to their number, largest to smallest. Coincidentally, the top five themes, foolish themes in those categories, and the top five on the wise create five contrasts, at least in my personal observation. And so, let's study five contrasts between wise people and foolish people. For each, we will read six proverbs and develop a well-rounded perspective. And to simplify the page flipping, because six scripture, we have about 30 scriptures, that's a lot of scripture. To simplify that, I've ordered them chronologically from the earliest proverb to the latest proverb, so that you only have to flip one way most of the time. I will do my best to read it faithfully if you choose not to flip. For each contrast, we will look at the attributes of a fool, and then we will look at the attributes of a wise person. Contrast number one is how they speak. A fool identifies himself or herself by hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. This kind of speech produces bad results. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool will fall. Prating, which is foolish talk or something that's tedious. Their speaking becomes tiresome to the listener. And when they have troubles, they will fall. Proverbs 18 and verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare of his soul. Our mouths get us in so much trouble. And not just trouble in life, but a snag to our spirit. The soul of our very being, according to this proverb. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. It says, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The Bible does not speak very well of fools, and to be hasty in our speech is even worse. Let's just think about that for a moment. When was the last time we had hasty speech? About 10 weeks ago, I was speaking with my boss, and I felt compelled to share something with her. It was just right there, and I had to say it, and so I spoke. And I'm not sure that was the best move. We'll find out. A fool is known by hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. Other proverbs mention a chattering fool. And this is a vivid picture, chattering. And the results are equally predictable. Proverbs says that a fool, you want to punch them in the mouth from what they've said. And they create hard feelings between people. And they put themselves in a bind by what they say. And they show to everyone what's in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you've got a lot to say, you're going to reveal yourself. Have we spoken like a fool? Now, so far, I've avoided being punched in the mouth. There's more time. But for sure, not every word that's crossed my mouth is wise. Let's take a look at the wise. When the wise speak, they produce good fruit, promoting life and wisdom. From Isaiah 9 and verse 6, we learn about Christ and the kind of government he will operate. The scripture identifies several titles as well. In the New King James, it lists two titles. One is Wonderful, the other is Counselor. In the New International Version, they put those together in calling him a Wonderful Counselor. And other translations invert that, saying that his title is someone who is the Counselor of Wonderful Things. Certainly the word of the Lord gives counsel of wonderful things. Let's take a look at a few proverbs. We'll go back to Proverbs 10 and verse 21. Proverbs 10 and verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. Wise speech feeds people. They're nourished by it. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. A few weeks ago, my wife reminded me of something that I'd said early in our marriage. We're at 11 years, going strong. She had carried that comment in her heart for years. And certainly, I never intended to have that kind of impact, but I did. By contrast, the words of the wise promote health and healing. Imagine if in every heated situation, we might pause and consider how we might bring health or healing by what we choose to say in that moment. That would be wise. A fool pokes and provokes. Health and healing, or poking and provoking? Which one? Proverbs 31 and verse 26. Discussing a woman of noble character, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness? There's a law about kindness? Kindness is an identifying mark of wise speech. You'll recall that Christ grew in favor with both God and man. The book of Luke records how people marveled at his gracious speech. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we reveal whether we're a fool or wise by what we say. And so I wonder, Am I a fool or am I wise? Let's look at a second difference between those who are wise and those who are foolish. And again, we'll start with a fool. We identify a fool and a wise person based on the effect that they have on others. A fool brings grief and burden, at least according to Proverbs, and this causes them to become alone. Who wants to always deal with grief and burden? Let's take a look at a few Proverbs. Proverbs 19 and verse 13. Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Sons and daughters, husbands and wives, we're all open to being fools. What's true is that everyone that is foolish brings grief to others. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Have you ever sent a message by a fool? My thumbs sometimes are the messengers that I send off to do their work on my keyboard. And this imagery is just so strong. Cutting off your own feet and drinking violence. That just sounds terrible. That's the result that's going to happen if you send a fool as a messenger. They bring grief. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and 7. Sorry, 27 verse 3. A little dyslexia there. Proverbs 27 and verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. I've carried stones and sand. I'm sure you have as well. They are heavy. I once interacted with a colleague and a subordinate. That interaction was very heavy. We fired this person because they didn't possess good judgment. And their actions just brought the whole team down. And we had to fire him. A fool brings grief from what they say and what they do. Eventually, people don't want to be around them because they're heavy and they're burdensome and they cause harm. And should a fool persist, eventually they will become alone. And no one wants to be alone. Now, a wise person is different. An identifying mark of the wise is that when they act and when they speak up, they build up and they promote life. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. From time to time, we all have difficult interactions with people. Imagine if we changed our thinking. We sense, because you can feel it coming. You can tell that it's coming. An argument is about to break out. You can sense it. And that confrontation builds, and the conflict is starting to flare up. And in our mind, instead of flaring up, we send a flare, alerting us to the fact that we desire to be wise in this instance, in this very moment. And instead of mentally building up arguments to rebut and defend, we plot and plan about how we might win them back. Paul remarks in 1 Corinthians 9 that to the Jews he became a Jew so that he might win the Jews. And to those who were outside the law, he became those like those without the law, so that he might win those people too. And to the weak, he became weak, so that he might win the weak. Paul was wise, which is fitting for one of God's apostles. Proverbs 13:14, as we build out this perspective on wise people. Proverbs 13:14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Now, a fountain sounds pretty good. I like a fountain. It's refreshing. It's life-sustaining. It quenches your thirst when you're thirsty. It's a good place to get cleaned up if you're dirty. A fountain has this soothing sound that promotes peace and tranquility. And it's a resting place from the hot and the dry. Wise people are a fountain of life. Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Here's another characteristic of wise people in Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Now, this Proverbs isn't talking about a physical house, although by wisdom it is built, but rather a family and its lineage. For example, the house of David. If you want to build something like that, it takes wisdom to build a family dynasty. Therefore, David must have been wise. We call it the house of David. A wise person builds up by what they say and what they do. God the Father is wise. He builds a family dynasty. In the full expression of the kingdom of God, in the new heaven and in the new earth, only wise beings will be there. The reason that kingdom has never-ending peace is because it is full of wise beings who see the value in peace. Am I a fool or am I wise? Let's move on to a third difference between those who are fools and those who are wise. Contrast number 3 is how they manage their life. A fool must be driven by someone else. Small children, as we all know from experience, need to be micromanaged most of the time to get a job done. And as they mature and become more wise, then they need less oversight. This is true of fools. Proverbs 1 and verse 32. Talking about the purpose of wisdom and the book that is being written, Proverbs 1:32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. While preparing this message, I felt I might not know the exact meaning of complacency, and I was right, I didn't. Complacency, according to Merriam-Webster, is self-satisfaction. I feel pretty good about myself, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers and deficiencies. That is complacency, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. We expose ourselves to foolishness through complacency. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. It says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows for a fool. You have to beat a fool. again and again. If we discover we're repeatedly corrected for the same thing again and again, this is an indicator we're behaving foolishly. Proverbs 26 and verse 3 takes it up a notch. Proverbs 26 and verse 3, it says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the fool's back." This proverb, the writer, makes an analogy between fools and brute beasts, how you get them to be productive. And I wonder how God feels about us sometimes as he guides us towards the kingdom of God. Is that experience for him like a sheep and a shepherd? Or is it more like a horse and its rider? How does he think about that with us? As we think about our relationships with other people, do we need constant reminders and prodding to get us to move along? That cannot produce good results in the long run. The wise are different. A defining attribute of wise people is that they act purposefully. And that results in increasing respect. Here's an example in Proverbs 13 and verse 16. Proverbs 13 and verse 16. It says, "Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly." This reminds me of a story when I was about 8. I was playing in the front yard with a friend of mine, school friend of mine. We're throwing a football back and forth, a Nerf football, and you know, we're trying to be big young men, so we toss that ball right into a tree, and it gets stuck up in this tree. So, being wise, I'm like, I've got this great idea. I'm going to get a rock. I'm going to throw that rock up there and get that ball down. And so I found a rock that, you know, fit into my hands about this big for the hands of an 8-year-old. I eyeball that football. I throw up that rock, and to my surprise, I hit it the first time. And so I'm watching for the football. The football drops down, and guess what happens? Of course, bam, right on the head with this rock that I threw up in the air. Now I'm with my friends, so I'm trying to play it all cool. I'm fine, shake it off. We go back to throwing the football. It's a hot day, and I feel some sweat pouring down my head. So I wipe it back into my hair as I did at that age and still do today, and my hand was bright red. Totally freaked out. I laid open my folly. Proverbs 7 and verse 24. Sorry, that's not right. Proverbs 17 and verse 24. "Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are off to the ends of the earth." This proverb contrasts a wise person and a foolish person based on their ability to stay focused. A fool in their quest for wisdom just gazes off into the distance and is distracted and loses their attention. They can't lock it in and gain understanding from what's going on. And a wise person is able to do that. Proverbs 21 and verse 22 gives a slightly different perspective. Proverbs 21 and verse 22. It says, "A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the trusted stronghold." A wise person is thinking deeply about a problem ahead and identifying how to tackle it and take it down. And this proverb makes me wonder about my spiritual life, the strongholds that exist in my life that need to be torn down. To think about those with purpose and with thought. That's why we counsel for baptism in the church. You just don't want to like run into that willy-nilly. You want to think about that and act purposefully. A fool must be driven by somebody else. A wise person acts with purpose. How they manage their life is a key indicator between the two. Am I a fool or am I wise? Contrast number four. You can distinguish between a foolish person and a wise person by what they seek. A fool pursues foolishness. This deprives him of the chance or her to seek wisdom, and therefore they expose themselves to a hard life. The beginning of Proverbs, in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, includes this foundational instruction. It says, Proverbs 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, this is both amazing and surprising to me how often Proverbs and the Bible in general says that those who are simple, people that haven't learned wisdom yet, want to remain that way. They want to stay simple. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. It says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." Fathers and mothers are a blessing for instruction, but fools don't want to receive correction. They don't see it. Don't want it. Proverbs 15:14, just a few verses down. "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness." The desire for wisdom comes from the innermost being of a person, from their heart. They set their hearts on it. And we can set it on foolish things, or we can set it on knowledge and wisdom. And as I look around the world today, I wonder how much people are spending time on gaining wisdom versus pursuing foolishness. And when hard times do come, either for that individual or maybe society in general, will they have the tools and experience to navigate those challenges with wisdom? Or will they expose their folly? Remember the proverb, the instruction about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. The wise, by contrast, seek instruction by listening and pursuing wisdom, and this protects them from harm. Let's take a look at a few proverbs about wise people in this regard. And we'll start again at the beginning of Proverbs, Proverbs 1 and verse 5. It says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning, but a man of understanding will attain wise counsel." Now, when is the last time you stopped and purposefully sought advice and input and counsel from another person? The last 2 years in my professional career have been harder than I expected. I did seek advice from a handful of people before taking the step that I did, but now I'm wondering if I should have cast a wider net. There were things that could have been seen that I didn't see. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will destroy them." An important side effect of accurately identifying foolish people from wise people is the direct impact on our own life. being in the company of fools eventually leads to being destroyed. That'd be terrible. Far better to surround ourselves with people who are wise. We can listen to what they say, we can observe how they act, and we can be instructed. Let's complete the set with one more proverb. Proverbs 18 and 15, verse 15. It says, "The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out." Now think of all the domains in life, your wealth, our health, our personal aspirations, our professional aspirations, our hobbies, how to strengthen the bonds of our marriage, how we raise children, buying a house, deciding who to marry, deciding what school to go to, pursuing the kingdom of God. The wise set their heart on listening and pursuing knowledge and wisdom as an important goal to attain. Elsewhere in Proverbs, it makes the simile of pursuing gold and silver and rubies. People hunt all over the earth. You know, they dig deep holes, they hang onto the edge of cliffs, they go all over the world to extract these minerals. And Proverbs says our efforts towards attaining wisdom should be just the same. A dedicated, purposeful, expanding effort and expending energy to listen and seek wisdom. Am I a fool or am I wise? The last contrast, number 5. An important difference between a wise person and a fool is whether or not they get advice. A fool is not known for getting advice. They do whatever seems right to them, and they suffer sudden destruction. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. I had this experience at work years ago. I'm so glad wisdom can be developed. Years ago, I'm working on this project, a very intense project. We're behind on our deadlines. Everyone's really stressed. And a person more senior to me staffed one of my people on a different project. And that's just bad. You don't do that. It's terrible. And we're under all this stress. Why would you do that? And I was furious, so I walked into this person's office, I opened the door, they're on the phone, and confront them about the thing that they had done. And they were clearly wrong. They should not have done what they have done. But that, too, of barging into their office and setting them straight, was not wise either. Proverbs 26:12. Proverbs 26 and verse 12, it says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." As we've already agreed, being a fool is pretty bad, and being wise in your own eyes is even worse. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. This one shows us another element, Proverbs 26:16. A lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than 7 men who can answer sensibly. A complete set. 7 people say, whatever, and this lazy person's like, nah. There is a connection to being lazy and being wise in your own eyes. For example, when I was younger, my mother would always correct us when you're taking all the groceries from the car into the house. And she would call it the lazy man's load, where you try to like get everything and take it in one trip into the house. Did we listen to her? We were children, though. There's a Twitter hashtag, if you're into Twitter, going on right now. It's called You Do You. People also use it in conversational speech. The younger generation mostly, I suspect. I don't use it. So younger than I. And it's a passive-aggressive retort about, you know, you just do whatever you're going to do. Do what you think is right. And that sounds exactly what Proverbs says is a fool. You just do what's right in your own eyes. You have no interest in getting advice and accepting correction from others. The wise are different. They accept instruction and rebuke from wise people. And this leads to further wisdom. Proverbs 9:9 says, "Instruct a wise person, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." Wisdom can be learned. No one needs to stay simple forever. The wise and the righteous see room for adding to their knowledge, their understanding, their learning, and their wisdom. Proverbs 15 and verse 31. 15:31 says, "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise." The carnal man and the fool don't like to hear rebuke. But how can a simple person grow unless they receive correction? Here's another with a slightly different twist. Proverbs 29:18. "Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction." Our national leaders act with little restraint, at least in my view. I can't believe it is becoming commonplace to insult the president, regardless of your views on him. And his constant provoking and poking certainly does not help. But President Obama received insults as well, and presidents before them. And I'm worried about church culture getting sucked in to seeing it's acceptable to insult the president, the national leader. That's just not wise. Whether you think he's right or wrong. And I want to just take a moment to talk about that. Let's look at Acts 23, please. Because God has specific instruction on this. And one of his wise servants followed it, heard and heeded wisdom's instruction. This is Acts 23 and verse 1. You know, Paul has been called in front of the Sanhedrin, and he looked straight at the Sanhedrin, verse 1, and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." At this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." That was his insult. I guess that was really tough back then. "You sit there in judgment of me according to the law, yet you yourself violate the law by commanding that I be struck." The high priest was not supposed to do that. He broke the law, the high priest did. And Paul is calling him out on it, rightfully so. Those who are standing near Paul said, "How dare you insult God's high priest?" Paul replied, "Brothers, I did not realize that he was the high priest, for it is written, 'Do not speak evil about the ruler of your people.'" That's taken from the law in Exodus. Let's not insult people, especially the president, neither this one or those that follow after him. That is God's wisdom to us who are simple. encouraging us to get advice. The book of Proverbs, which is the word of God, encourages that we seek advice from wise people and then do what they instruct. Let's notice the advice that people are giving. Let's pay attention to it, especially if we consider them as wise. And let's actively seek input on important decisions. Am I a fool or am I wise? We've looked at five contrasts between the wise and the foolish. I'm going to go through them quickly again, just in case you skip something in the notes with my fast talking. Number one, how they speak. Fools have hasty, abundant, and mocking speech, producing bad results. The wise, in their speaking, results in good fruit, promoting life and wisdom. Number two, their effect on others. The fools bring grief and burden, causing them to be alone, while the wise, they act up and speak, and they build up, promoting life. Number three, how they manage their life. Fools must be driven, and that causes strife, while the wise acts purposefully, and that leads to increasing respect. Number four, what they seek. A fool seeks foolishness, causing them not to seek wisdom and therefore exposing themselves to hardship. While the wise seek instructions by listening and pursuing wisdom from a wise source, protecting them from harm. Number five, whether or not they get advice. Fools do what seems right to them and receive sudden destruction, while a wise person accepts instruction and rebuke, and they increase in wisdom. What's the most telling mark? Number one. What's the strongest indicator? My method categorized both scriptures that refer to fools and scriptures that refer to wise people, and I counted each one by its theme. What do you think it is? According to Proverbs and this analysis technique, what is the most telling trait of a fool? It is how they speak, hasty, abundant, and mocking speech. According to Proverbs and this analysis technique, what is the most telling trait of a wise person? How they seek out instruction by listening and actively pursuing wisdom. Am I a fool or am I wise? God is the source of wisdom. You know my love of Job. Let's take a look at Job, because he remarks on this in Job 24. In verse 12, I'll go a little bit over time, if you don't mind. And the context of Job 28 and verse 12 is talking about how men put all this effort into getting gold. And it says, but where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not in me. Verse 15. It can't be purchased with gold, nor can silver buy weight for its price. It cannot be valued to the gold of Ophir in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can be equal to it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Wisdom is better than all those things. Verse 20, From where then does wisdom come? How do you acquire it if you can't exchange it for gold? And where is the place of understanding? It is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Death and destruction say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. God understands its way, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens to establish the weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure. When he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. God is wise. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You want wisdom. God is the source of that. Wisdom does serve us in our physical life. Obedience to God's law and statutes and judgments is wise. And more important than a blessed life, which is important, is attainment of the kingdom of God. We know there's a kingdom where Christ and the Father reign. As we think about the kingdom, am I a fool or am I wise? Matthew 7 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. There is a kingdom that requires us to be wise. But fools and simple people, the carnal man, doesn't want to come to the light. You'll recall that from John 3. How great is that darkness? The carnal man doesn't seek God's wisdom. It wants to stay simple, just like a fool. It doesn't set its heart to listening to and obeying wise counsel from the counselor of wonderful things. And we should be wise. It is wise to pursue the kingdom of God with all our might and to seek instruction in righteousness, to set our heart on it. The wise seek wisdom by listening. The wise seek wisdom by pursuing wisdom. The wise build up by wisdom. And they accept instruction from a wise source. Let us be wise about the kingdom of God. I hope you found the survey of wisdom and foolishness from Proverbs helpful. The good news is that we can grow in wisdom if we discover we behave foolishly.